So I don't know if you know the podcast and NPR show On Being with Krista Tippett, but they're going through a replay of some older interviews she's done. I was just listening to one with a Jewish mystic and physician whose name is Dr. Rachel Naomi Raymond. And in it, Dr. Raymond draws an intriguing distinction between curing and healing. One of the problems of the medical profession, she says, is that medical students are taught to be focused on curing, that is, fixing whatever ails the person before you. Curing is the highly specialized work involving research and diagnoses, medications and treatments, scientific skills. And through that framework, death is always the failure of medicine. But healing, she says, healing, on the other hand, is the work of becoming whole, restoring well-being and peace. To heal, one draws on spiritual skills of compassion and service, reverence for life, courage and love. Healing involves touch and presence, music and prayer, forgiveness and patience. Healing can come even at the point of death. You can be cured without being healed, healed without being cured. I believe this because I have seen it. I have seen healing in the absence of a cure. I have seen how the presence of a loved one can bring wholeness to a deathbed. I have witnessed how the reminder of God's presence can bring peace to the terminally unwell. But we have more than just anecdotes. The medical profession has long known that the touch of a mother can make all the difference in the health of a newborn baby. The presence of a loved one can measurably ease pain. Dr. Raymond believes that every human being is called to receive and to give healing, even and especially those who are wounded themselves. She tells Tippett, "And I began to realize how I had been healed by those I worked with cancer, how I had moved from a person focused on curing and truly came to understand that we are all healers of one another, that people have been healing each other since the beginning, and that my power to cure was a small part of my power to help people." In the Gospels, when we see each time Jesus himself goes out to cure the sick or demon-possessed, he also does the work of healing. Jesus heals not only the individual before him, but the community around the wounded person. He restores them to reconciled relationships within the social network from which they have been separated or cast out. One of the clearest examples of this is the man who was beset by demons in Gerasene. And he was chained in the outskirts of town. He was howling, all of that. And Jesus came and threw out the demon. And after he was cured, this man asked to follow Jesus. But Jesus told him to remain. He needed to be present there to continue his healing, continue repairing his relationship with the neighbors who had chained him up on the outskirts of town. When Jesus appoints the 70 to go out before him, he tells them they do not need any belongings or provisions. They are already equipped with all they need. Their primary task is to bring their peace to others, to remind people of the presence of God among them, the kingdom of God come near. Curing the sick is only a small part of the work they are commissioned to do. They are to heal through a ministry of presence, sharing food, accepting welcome, bringing peace. And when the 70 return to Jesus after their work, they return rejoicing. They're filled with stories of success. They're giddy with power. They are amazed at their ability to cure and command. And Jesus' response here is fascinating. Be careful you do not rejoice in the wrong thing, Jesus warns. Don't rejoice in all the power you've been given. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, do not ground your joy in your accomplishments or results. Ground your joy in your identity with God, your participation in God's great movement. It is enough to simply know and be known by God. Root your joy not in your newfound curative or demon-defying powers. The source of your joy should instead spring from the truth of your belonging to God and God's wider movement in the world. In Judaism, God's wider movement of healing, to which all people are called, has a Hebrew name, Tikkun Olam, the healing or restoration of the world. Dr. Riemann names Tikkun Olam as the center of her spiritual worldview. And Tikkun Olam will always have a special place in my heart, too. It was one of the themes our wedding preacher highlighted in his sermon to us, much to the delight of Aaron's Jewish grandfather. He preached that our marriage is and was to be a small part of the healing of the world. And later in the ceremony, our officiant had us stop and look around at all the faces smiling back at us to see all that our love had already done in bringing so many together. It was such a sacred moment that I make sure to include it in every wedding I officiate. Perhaps we should have a moment like that in every service we do here. Perhaps we already do. Perhaps that's what the sharing of the peace is. When we do what the 70 were called to do, a moment to recognize and be grateful for one another's presence, a brief time to celebrate that us coming here, coming together, is a part of healing the world. There was a moment as the world began to open up after COVID restrictions, a brief one, and even then I remember being surprised by how fleeting it was, when being able to simply be with one another seemed like a miracle. There was wisdom in that moment, and it's wisdom we need still. We may not have governmental guidelines against gathering in the same way now, but getting together is still difficult. Many people have admitted to me that they are surprised how hard it is now to get up and go and get out to church, whether that's because of residual fear of infection, declines in their health, or simply getting out of the habit. And the thing is, you never know what it took for someone to be here this morning. You never know who walked 15 minutes in the sun or took three different buses, who overcame depression to drag themselves out of bed, who wrestled through toddler tantrum or two to get out the door. Each of you being present here today is no small thing. I do not take it for granted when people walk through our doors. In the early days of COVID, this is April 2020, I'm saying, that when all we had was phone and Zoom, one of my friends developed a habit of saying, "It is good to hear your voice," each time we talked. And later that became, "It is good to see your face." In that one line, sincerely meant and sincerely spoken, I learned to hear this. Whatever we do here, whatever is said here, whatever we accomplish together, I choose to ground my joy in the simple fact that we are together, and that being together, sharing a sacred meal, spreading one another's peace, is healing. I rejoice that our names are written on each other's hearts. The good news that the 70 bring to the people they meet is the good news of presence. The kingdom of God has come near you this day. Yes, they are sent to cure the sick. Yes, they command demons in God's name. But the essence of the joy they have to spread is the simple truth of God's presence among us whenever we come together. So if you remember one thing from today, know this. I take joy in your presence here with us today. And so does God. Amen.